Good evening. My name is Rajat Malhotra, and I'm a member of Center for Peace and Spirituality, known as CPS International. So on behalf of CPS International, we warmly welcome you for today's session with our founder, Maulana Wahiduddin Khan. So the format that we're going to have today is that we will first have the address by Maulana Wahiduddin Khan, our founder. And then after that, as we have discussed with Ramit, we will have an interaction with all of you. You may ask your questions, or you may, if you want to comment, you could do so. So, before we start, I'll just briefly introduce you about our founder, and then we'll start the program. Maulana Wahiduddin Khan is an Islamic spiritual scholar who has adopted peace as a mission of his life. Born in Azamgarh in 1925 and known for his Gandhian views, he considers non-violence as the only method to achieve success. To give full expression to these positive ideas, he established the Islamic Center in New Delhi in 1970 and subsequently the organ of the center, Al Risala, the monthly magazine, was launched in Urdu in 1976. The English version continues to be published under the title Spirit of Islam. Maulana has translated the Quran into Urdu, English and Hindi. Maulana's English translation of the Quran, first published in 2009, was reviewed by the Times of India in these words: simple and direct. The book reaches out to a large audience. His commentary on the Quran is available in both Urdu and English. He has authored over 200 books on Islam, prophetic wisdom, spirituality and peaceful coexistence in a multi-ethnic society. His most recent book, The Prophet of Peace, published by Penguin Books in 2009, illuminates the Islamic view on modernity, secularism, democracy, freedom of speech and peace. He dispels the notion that Islam is a religion of violence, a notion that has gained currency in the present times. Maulana's other important works on peace, such as The Ideology of Peace, offers a peaceful solution to counter terrorism and help people understand the concept of peace in Islam. To spread spiritual wisdom based on peace across the globe, Maulana Wahiduddin Khan established CPS International, that is Center for Peace and Spirituality, in January 2001. The organization aims to promote and reinforce the culture of peace through mind-based spirituality. Through CPS activities, the ambassadors of peace are spreading the message of peace and spirituality all over the world. Internationally recognized for his contribution to world peace, he has received, among others, the Demirger's Peace International Award by the Nuclear Disarmament Forum, AG. A recent book, The 500 Most Influential Muslims of 2009, by Georgetown University, Washington, D.C., has named him Islam's spiritual ambassador to the world. His approach, the book points out, is popular among Indians, both Muslims and non-Muslims. He has also been awarded the title of Ambassador of Peace by the International Federation for World Peace, Korea. Some of other awards presented to him are the Padma Bhushan, the Rajiv Gandhi National Sadbhavna Award, the National Integrated Award, the Communal Harmony Award, the National Amity Award presented by the former Prime Minister of India, the Dilli Gaurav Award presented by the Chief Minister of Delhi, and the National Citizens Award presented by Mother Teresa. So, I just want to say that Maulana's approach has always been to inculcate the culture of positivity and peace among individuals. I also joined his mission in 2001, and at that time I had a lot of hatred in me. And he completely turned me around. So if you meet any CPS individual anywhere in the world, one thing that you will find is that there is a lot of positivity and well-wishing for humanity. Maulana also always has emphasized one thing in his writings and in his talks, that the Western civilization is a great friend to entire human mankind. In fact, yesterday in a session which he delivered here, he talked about the great gifts that the Western civilization has given, which is the modern technology, the modern education, and the multimedia, without which we would not have really been able to live as we are right now. And you represent that Western civilization. So we are very happy to have you here, and we warmly welcome you. And without taking much time further, I would now request Maulana Vaidyuddin Khan to begin his talk, and thereafter then we will have the interactive session. Thank you.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to you. Good evening. Good all the time. Now, I would like to say a few words about the religion of Islam. You know, Prophet Muhammad started his Islamic mission in 610 AD in Mecca. In the beginning, there was some opposition, but very soon it was solved. And within a decade, Islam gained momentum. And within the 23 years period, the whole Arabia was Islamized. Then there was a rapid expansion. And now, almost in every country, there are some Muslims living over there. The total number of Muslims living in the globe is more than 1 billion persons. Then, regarding India, Islam entered India in 8th century. Islam found here a very fertile soil and spread in a rapid speed. And now there are 500 million Muslims all over the Indian subcontinent. In India alone, there are more than 100 million Muslims. I can say that we enjoy here total freedom and complete peace. I can say that there are more than 50 Muslim countries in the present world. But in India, we find better condition than all these Muslim countries. It is a fact. Then, something about the teaching of Islam. Islam is a religion of peace. Violence and hate and war has nothing to do with Islam. The basic principle of Islam is based on oneness of God. Oneness of God is the basic ideology of Islam. This ideology covers all those beliefs and moral system and individual behavior. I can say that Islam has very unique concept of life. Islam differentiate between individual behavior and social system. According to Islam, I can summarize the Islamic concept in two words. Individual idealism and social pragmatism. That is, it means that idealism at the level of individual and pragmatism at the level of society. This concept is totally a peaceful concept. There is no room of violence and war in Islam. If some Muslims are engaged in violence, that is deviation, case of deviation, is not a case of following. All those Muslims who are engaged in militancy, that is deviation from Islam. They are not following the Islamic principles. I have published so many books on this subject. One such book is Prophet of Peace. In this book, I have established this fact that Islam is a religion of peace, and Prophet of Islam was Prophet of Peace. This is the brief introduction of Islam. Then, I would say that scholars generally study religion as a social subject. But regarding Islam, it is only partially true. Because Islam is a revealed religion. Revealed religion means Islam has a authentic book, that is Quran. Islam is based on the Quranic teachings. It is a fact there are a history of Islam, there are Muslim culture, there are some other things, but all these things are not real part of Islam. I can say that Islamic ideology is real part of Islam. And all other things, including culture, are relative part of Islam. It is very important to differentiate between the two. Very, very important to differentiate between the two. I have studied Islam from its original sources. Original Arabic sources. I can say that there is no room for violence in Islam. Here I would like to tell you that what is the definition of terrorism according to Islam? According to Islam, there is no terrorism in Islamic concept. According to Islam, no individual or no non-governmental organization is allowed to use arms. Use of arm is a prerogative of state. Only state can acquire weapons and organize state, establish state, can acquire arms. And according to Islamic teaching, only in the case of aggression or attack, state is allowed to go to war, otherwise not. In Islam, there is only defensive war. There is no offensive war in Islam. And also, there is no room for other kind of Islam. For example, guerrilla war and proxy war, all these wars are not warranted in Islam. Islam believes in oneness of God. Islam believes in brotherhood and tolerance. According to Islam, there are two parts of human life, pre-death period and post-death period. In the post-death period, Muslims are required to adopt Islamic behavior, Islamic thinking, Islamic morality. It is not Muslim duty to establish Islamic rule all over the world. That is wrong. That is false. Those who claim that it is our duty to establish Islamic rule all over the world, they are completely wrong. This kind of concept is totally alien in Islam. Islam only guide to Muslim that they must evolve a spiritual personality. That is called tazkiya, spiritual personality. It is only a personality that is based on spirituality, that is based on peace and tolerance and God-fearing, that will be allowed to find entry to the paradise. So the goal of Islam is paradise and not political system. It is not Islamic goal. All those violence you see in Muslim world, that is deviation. Then I would say that in present time, people used to gather information from media. But media is an industry of selective reporting. Media always reports hot news, sensational news. So, to report what is in the Quran, that is not media's concern. They always report what Muslims are doing. So, violence and war is reported in the media. So people are unaware. Those who try to understand Islam through media, they are totally unaware of the real picture of Islam. Because real picture of Islam is found in the Quran, not in Muslim practices. Muslims are a community. There are some common interests. So, what Muslims are doing, that is their politics. That is their communal issues. That is not Islam. You have to differentiate Islam and Muslims. You have to judge Muslims in the light of Islamic teaching and not vice versa. So if you read Quran, I would say that Islam is a very modest book. It is not a very lengthy book. It is very easy to read Quran. Very easy. Because it is a small book. So if you read Quran from A to Z, you will find all the verses of Quran are based on peace. Either directly or indirectly. Why? Because without peaceful situation, without normal situation in the society, you cannot adopt Islamic ideology, you cannot develop your personality, you cannot run your institutions. So Islam, after the oneness of God, that is Tawheed, the most important thing in Islam is peace. Islam tries to establish peace at any cost. You know, in the early period of Islam, at the time of the Prophet, there was some problem, some violence, but it was due to tribal culture. At that time in Arabia, there was tribal culture. So due to this tribal culture, or due to age factor, there was some violence from the other side. Those people attacked Islam. They started war. But Prophet of Islam always managed all these violence. You cannot find a single full-fledged war in Islamic history during the Prophet's period. There were some so-called wars, but that all these wars were skirmishes. You cannot say that it was war. Why? Because Islam believes in management rather than go to fighting. If there are some problem from other side, first of all you have to manage the problem by the way of negotiation, by the way of peaceful method. There is a very relevant hadith. The Aisha was the prophet of the Islam. He said that ما خير رسول الله بن أمرين إلا اختار أيسرهما. It means that whenever the prophet had to choose between the two, he always opted for peaceful method rather than violent method. This was the general policy of the Prophet of Islam. So Islam means to manage the problem, rather try to fight with the problem. And if you read my book, The Prophet of Islam, you will find that this was the true picture of Islam. And there was an event at the time of the Prophet of Islam. This is called Hudaybiyah Agreement. This Hudaybiyah Agreement shows what was the policy of the Prophet of Islam. It was to establish peace at any cost. Prophet's policy was to establish peace at any cost, at any cost. Even by accepting humiliating conditions from the other side. Why? Because according to Islam, peace is the summum bonum. Peace is the greatest good. Where there is peace, there is normalcy. Where there is peace, there are open opportunities. Where there is peace, there are normal relationship between different parties. So it is very important to establish peace. Without peace, you cannot do anything. If you want to establish institutions, if you want to do some business, if you want to practice a religion, if you want to preach your ideas, all these things require peace, peaceful situation. So Islam believes in peace, and Islam tries to establish peace at any cost. Because without peace, there is no progress. I would say that present picture of Islam is highly incorrect. Highly incorrect. They see those reports that appears in media and they form their opinion about the Islam. But media reports only sensational items. Media never report the teaching of Islam given in the Quran. So, if you want to know what is Islam in real sense of the word, you have to study Islam. You have to study the Quran. There are two sources of Islam, two authentic sources, Quran and Sunnah. Quran means, Quran is the collection of those revelations that was received by the Prophet. Collection of those revelations that was revealed to God, to the Prophet of Islam. And Sunnah means Prophet's saying and his practices. Prophet's saying and his practices. So Quran and Sunnah are the only source of the Islam. So if you want to know what is Islam in real sense, then you have to study Quran directly. Don't rely on media reports. You have to study the Quran and Sunnah. Also, you don't form your opinion by seeing the Muslim practices. Muslims are a community that claim that we are followers of Islam. But claim is not enough. You have to judge Muslim practices by the standard of the Quran. If you find that Muslims are practicing according to the Quran, then it is okay. Otherwise, it is wrong. It is not Islam. Our mission is to present correct picture of Islam. This is our mission. We are trying to use all those methods in terms of print media and electronic media, both. So we try to present Islam in this true picture, according to the Quran and Hadith. I invite you to read our books and find the true picture of Islam. I think that the majority of present Muslims have deviated from Islam. The majority of the Muslims, they have adopted political goal, and political goal always leads to violence and war. I can say that political rule is not the goal of Islam, is not target of Islam. Present Muslims have adopted political rule as their target and they claim that is Islamic mission and they claim that all their activities are jihad activities. But I can say that is completely wrong. It has no sanction in the Quran and Hadith. It is innovation. Innovation that is called bid'ah. All these activities in the name of jihad, in the name of Islamic rule or innovation. It is not true picture of Islam. So I invite you to read the Quran from its original sources. Don't take Muslim practices as Islam. Present Muslims, the majority of Muslims have deviated from the path of Islam. And if you read the Quran, if you read the Sunnah, I am certain that you will find that what I am saying was a correct statement. So, I am very glad to receive you here, and all my colleague and all my companions and all the members of CPS who are scattered throughout the world, they are very happy, and we welcome you, and may God bless you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu. Peace be upon you. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll open the house for interaction. Maybe you could ask any question that you have in mind regarding Islam to Malala, or if you want to add something or comment something, please do so.
Malala, thank you for your presentation. And I think one point I appreciate is how you ask that people do not judge Islam only by the people, but by its ideology. And certainly, myself as a Christian, we often reflect on the same thing, that people judge Christianity not by the actions of the church and of Christians, but more upon its ideology. We realize that the people themselves are often very imperfect representatives. So I appreciate your point. I wanted to ask about the point that you are making, where you're saying, I'm trying to understand your point. You asked that you see Islam as more a system, more about individual behavior and not as much about a social system. You also talk about how it is not about political rule. And yet we hear other interpretations of Islam that would say that it has political implications. Is it necessary in your mind that Islam would have no political implications? It would seem like even the individual behavior would ultimately have some implications upon society. Am I understanding you that there's no implication for social behavior or for society and for political behavior, or maybe you can clarify for me?
My point is that as a target, there is no political rule in Islam. As a target, as a goal, there is no political rule in Islam. But if there are some Muslims, they believe in Islamic teachings and they form a society, then there must be a rule, there must be a government. So in this sense, there is a political rule, not as a goal, but as a matter of convenience.
Can you also clarify that does political rule has any base in Islam? Does the scripture talk about political rule? What do you have to say on that?
Not at all. There is no base. You cannot find a single verse in the Quran that Muslims must establish political rule. No. For example, there are several verses in which Quran teaches adl, that is justice. Adl means justice. But in every verse, Quran says, O Muslim, you have to follow justice. You cannot find a single verse that, in this sense, in which Quran says, you have to implement justice. Adilu. Adilu means you have to follow justice. You cannot find a single verse in the Quran that you have to implement justice. You have to establish justice. You have to establish a just government. So, there is difference between following and implementation. It is correct that there are so many verses in the Quran that insist on justice, that is adl, and other moral values. But always Islam insists on following and not implementation. When there is following, there is peace. But when you try to establish or implement your ideas, then there is fighting, there is confrontation. In this sense, I can say that Islam is a religion of peace. Islam is not religion of politics.
One part of his question was that you said Islam is about individual behavior and not social behavior. Why did you say that, Maulana?
I differentiate between following and implementation. In terms of following, there is social values. But in terms of implementation, there is no social system. Islam never says that here is a social system and you have to implement it, you have to establish it in the society. No. Islam gives us moral values. Islam gives us spiritual values. And Islam insists that you have to follow these values. But Islam never said in any Quranic verse that you have to implement it in the society. You have to fight with the people to establish this system. No. So there is a difference between following and implementation. So in terms of following, everything is there. But in terms of implementation, there is no political teaching.
Your interpretation of the Quran sees that there is no basis for violence and that it advocates for peace. And you help us to see that we must not trust our media, and yet we do through the media, we hear other interpretations of Islam, the violent interpretations. And what we hear is that they also base these beliefs upon the Quran. You have a reading of the Quran that sees it as nonviolent. We hear of others that read it and they see violence. Why is there a difference of interpretation? What is the basis of this difference?
You know, in interpretation, every time there are differences in every system, in law, in constitution. So, it is impossible to eliminate the differences in interpretation. Only in physical sciences, there are no difference in interpretation. But when it comes to humanities, always there are differences. It is but natural. So you have to see which interpretation is based on Quranic teaching and which is based on Muslim practices. It is impossible to eliminate all those interpretations because religion is part of humanities, it is not part of science. Only in physical science there is no such differences. Because it is based on mathematics. But when it comes to the humanities or religion, there it is but natural that there will be difference in interpretation. So you have to see on your own. You have to study on your own. You have to find out your own which interpretation is correct and just according to the correct teachings.
This is the nature of hermeneutics and interpreting scripture. We have these differences. Can you help us understand when other groups read the Quran and they use it to justify violent means? What is wrong in their interpretation in your mind? How are they misreading? What is leading them to misread the Quran?
The fact is that everyone is free. God Almighty created every human being, and it is God's given freedom. Freedom is a God-given gift. Everyone enjoys freedom, and that is given by God Almighty. So you cannot abolish freedom. When there is freedom, there is misuse of freedom. So you cannot restrict that freedom because it's God given. So all those deviation is, according to my study, is misuse of freedom. All those misinterpretation are misuse of freedom. And freedom is God given gift to all mankind, to every human being. You cannot abolish freedom. So, you have to tolerate the differences in interpretation. You have to decide on your own which one is right interpretation and which one is wrong interpretation. You have to accept that freedom. You have no power to abolish that freedom. You have no choice other than to accept that freedom. For example, in the Quran, there is a verse, لَيَقُوبَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْتِ. It means that we have sent down this book and we have revealed all those commandments in this book, including the principles of justice. لَيَقُوبَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْتِ. So that people follow the qist. Qist means justice. So that people follow the justice. You can find this verse in the chapter Al-Hadid. In God Almighty reveal the principle of justice. And then Quran says that لِيَقُوبَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْتِ. So that people follow the justice. Quran never says that you have to establish the system of justice. No. So, when you take it as the issue of its implementation, issue of establishment, that it will create fighting. Because when you want to try to implement or establish a system, then very soon you discover that there is some people who are already occupied the seat. So first of all, you have to unseat those people. They are on the political seat. This creates fighting. The Islam never says that you have to establish the system of justice, because that will lead to violence. Islam says that you have to follow justice. That is very peaceful teaching.
So, Dr. Farida Khan, she is an associate professor at Jami Millia Islami University, and she is daughter of Malana. She wants to add something. She teaches Islamic studies.
I would like to say something about this. Why they wrongly interpret different verses in the Quran and many traditions, practices of the Prophet. I'll give you just one example. That there is a verse in the Quran that do great jihad with the Quran, strive with the Quran. So now you will find in most of the translations that they will say fight with the Quran. So they have not only, this is only one instance, they have wrongly translated, wrongly interpreted, only so that their own purpose is served. And there are so many examples, like women. You know, there is no verse in the Quran which says that women should cover their face and women should be segregated. No verse in the Quran. What has happened that pre-Islamic culture has prevailed and they think they have Islamized the pre-Islamic culture. And they think that this is Islam. They have become so familiar with that culture. And now they are not ready to listen to anything. Like Prophet's agreement, when Prophet accepted all the humiliating conditions of the enemy. So they will never refer to this peace agreement. They say that they have to So they don't follow the Prophet, they don't follow the teaching of Islam, they only want to, they have their own vested interest, and accordingly they are interpreting both the Quran and the traditions of the Prophet.
I'll just add one point. I am doing a PhD on Islam and peace. And one of the major things that I understood is, we are talking about misinterpretation, that certain ideologues made their objective target to establish an Islamic state in the name of that the existing rulers are unjust, a social just system is not established, and using this verse of the Quran that you have to establish justice, they say since God has told us to establish justice, and justice is not getting established, so it is our responsibility to establish justice. And then we have to be an Islamic state. So they have linked social justice as an implementation and the target of Islamic state as part of one of the pillars of Islam. And you cannot enter paradise until unless you establish that justice system. You can die for the Islamic State, only then you will get paradise. At an individual level, without doing that, you will not. So when it becomes to that level, then it's a gross misinterpretation. And you have to go back to the original sources. And original sources, as I have understood after my study, is totally individual based, that you have to follow everything yourself. You cannot implement it on others. Because the moment you try to implement your views on others, it leads to confrontation at an individual level and fighting at group level. So the Islamic ideology is of individual personality development and having positive social relations. Political aspect of it is just a relative element that in case, as Mahasar said, if a state has a situation comes where Muslims are in majority and they have to establish a state as part of that, then you can form a state, but you cannot make it as a target. But these ideologues are making that as the target, and that is where the problem has come. And it has gone very deep rooted. I mean, I came to Maulana almost 10 years ago. I was also in this confusion. Is it my responsibility to establish justice, to establish a state? Because that's how we are told. So, when I realized that it is not, I only have to follow at an individual level and do my best in society. And it's not linked to my paradise. So, linking it to paradise is the problem.
Maria is a research scholar. She's doing a PhD in Islamic studies.
This is just one point that I'd like to add. You're questioning about why this, like why Muslims are
using the Quran to perpetrate violence. So I think one point that needs to be made is that there are certain verses in the Quran that speak about war and fighting. But those verses have to be considered in the context in which they were revealed. Because there were certain situations wherein Muslims entered into defensive war with their opponents. So certain verses pertaining to war were revealed. So those verses have to be considered as relating to the time of war. They cannot be applied. They cannot be applied to normal situations. They have to be considered as only specific to wartime, not to normal circumstances. So what Muslims generally do would be when they have to justify their violence in the name of jihad, they tend to use those verses that were revealed during wartime and they apply it to normal circumstances. So that is a gross misinterpretation. And another thing is about jihad. The word jihad has become very famous. Jihad means to strive for a noble cause. Jihad does not have any violent connotation. It is peaceful struggle for the attainment of a noble cause. And that noble cause that has been given to Muslims is conveying the message of God to all mankind. That is what jihad is.